So we are in Galatians chapter 6, and we are starting with verse 1. We're only going to make it through 5 verses today, because there's a few specific little things that get hit at the end of this book of Galatians, and so we're going to split it into three parts. So let's read this. Again, I'm reading from the ESV, so... the wording could be slightly different, but it'll be close. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Now, I'm going to be totally honest with you. When I read this in the context of the rest of this book, I can kind of go, wait, what? Like, don't we usually... we don't want to be comparing... You know, like, oh yeah, my reason to boast is going to be in myself. Like, I thought I boasted Christ, not in me. And like, what? He clearly says right here, my reason to boast will be in myself. So I had to go back and do a little digging and reminding myself what this is really all about. Because in the context, what we're getting at here is this church that has begun to faction and split off, and they're comparing with each other. They're beginning to judge each other and condemn each other based on do they feel like this person's good enough, and are they measuring up to me? Are they measuring up to, you know, are they good enough to hang out with me? The whole point of this first 5 verses, though, is about restoring the broken. It's restoring broken people, restoring broken hearts, restoring broken lives. And the question is, what do you do when you catch someone in sin? If, like, everything we've talked about so far has been about being a people of grace, and God is, His amazing grace that He's extended to us and is always extending to us. So what do we do then when we catch someone in sin? And that word means like you're unexpectedly. You're not out like the Pharisees were out after the woman caught in adultery. And it says, you know, we caught her in the very act. But they didn't bring the guy who was caught in the very act. You know, I mean, it was like this total setup to trap Jesus. And it's not that kind of, oh, we caught you in a sin. We were after you. We're pinning you down, and you know, John Easterbrooks, we've been on you for weeks.
I'm innocent.
We caught you.
I'm innocent. I promise. I'm innocent.
Okay, so it's not that. It's not like you're setting someone up. It's what do you do when all of a sudden you find out that this person you thought was so great, oh my goodness, they're totally in sin. They're totally, you know, they're not walking according to God's word. They're not walking, as we talked about last week, walking in the Spirit. They're not doing this. They're totally, they've gone off the deep end. What do you do? How do you respond? If we're a people of grace, does that mean we just kind of go, oh God, I pray you'll get them. I pray you'll convict them. God, let your grace get them. And we just ignore it? Or do we go after them like the Pharisees went after the woman caught in adultery and wanted to stone her? And do we go after each other that way? No, but how do we proceed? So before I answer that question, I'll tell you a little story about one of my neighbor boys. His name's Luther. His dad's a good Calvinist. Named his son Luther, as in Martin Luther. And Luther was hanging out in the neighbor's yard right over here. because he lives two doors down from us. And they were playing around. My kids were out there. They're playing around on these posts for like hanging the laundry. They're hanging around on these I don't know what they're called, but they're for hanging your laundry. Clothesline, thank you. On these poles for the clothesline. And Luther is showing off how he can do like gymnast style. He can grab onto the pole and then stick his legs straight out to the side and just hang there. You know, and he's flipping around on the poles and he's doing this stuff. Well, somebody tells him, Luther, you need to stop. This is dangerous. You could get hurt. And Luther goes for one more time, and my kids are jumping in telling the story because they know this. Luther goes for one more time, and that one more time he happens to fall and land on his nose. And he broke his nose. And if I missed any little details in this, my kids can correct it later. But what happened is he broke his nose, and it was several days before they realized, like, it's a bad enough thing, we should probably take him in. And he had to have his nose rebroken so that they could set it. And he said it was way worse the second time, because the first time when he just fell or hit it on the pole, however he did it, broke his nose. It was so fast, and he cried a little bit, and then he's okay. But then when he's got to go back in, and he knows he has to have it set, because he has to wait for it, and that's all the setup, it's like it's way worse, way more traumatic. But they set his nose, and Luther's out playing for a few days with this big white patch thing over his nose to keep it in place while it healed. So this is the exact word that is used when it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him. The word for restore here, the Greek word is katarizo. And if you're taking notes on that, it's katarizo. Katarizo. And it's the same word as used in not like biblical Greek language, and just regular everyday street Greek to talk about setting a bone. You who are spiritual should reset this one gently in a spirit of gentleness. You're not going to walk up and slap him upside the head. Whap! You know, we'll get that taken care of. Come here, Luther. Come here, Luther. We'll get that thing straightened out for you. I'll grab that nose, you know. We'll be good. So what's to be done for those found to be in sin in the church? What do we do? And the answer is we restore them. We restore them. We come to not just to let it go and let them continue in a destructive behavior pattern, not just to let them continue destroying their own life or the lives of other people around them, but we bring correction. We confront. We actually, it's okay as grace people to talk to someone and say, what you're doing is sinful. This isn't right. We can come, and we don't have to be like these kind of pushover, oh, it's all right. Grace covers us. We're okay. Well, that may be true that grace covers you, but destructive, sinful behavior is still destructive and sinful. And it doesn't represent God. It doesn't bring glory to God. So we want to bring this katarizo, bring this restoring, and help set what's broken in their lives. So secondly, who is to do this? Who is to be involved in restoration in the church? It says, still in verse 1, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. You who are spiritual. Now, what we talked about last week was the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. And Paul's going through and he's like, okay, I've just talked to you guys about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I've talked to you about all this fruit. Now, here's where this hits, like the rubber hits the road. This isn't just a feeling. I feel loving. I just love everyone. You know, I love the world. I love people who are different than me. I love everyone. It's not just this kind of, or like, wow, that was a really good worship time. It's still really loving. Paul's like, you know what? If you're so spiritual, then you who are spiritual, you get involved in restoring the broken. Mm-hmm. Who's to do this? Those of us who walk in the Spirit, those of us who are filled with the Spirit, are to be involved in restoring the lives of other people, the lives of broken people. So it's not just, oh, kindness in theory, it's kindness in action. It's not just goodness in theory. Oh, I'm a good person because God's made me good. Well, that needs to turn into something. Are you a good person? If you're a good person in God, which we all know that's only through Jesus anyway, but he actually builds goodness into our lives, and we act in goodness toward other people. So Paul's saying, look, this isn't just spiritual, theoretical stuff. When people in the church need help and they're struggling with sin, you guys who are spiritual, get involved. Get involved. So thirdly, how is restoration to be implemented? How do we do this? It's pretty simple. Restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Gently. We restore people who are broken gently. And I'm sorry, everything comes back to a couple of different movies for me in my life. And as soon as I'm reading this, all I can think of is Wesley and the Princess Bride laying on the bed in this bridal suite where Buttercup is, you know, she's going to kill herself. She's going to plunge the dagger into her heart and be done with it. And she walks in. She's ready to do it. She's ready to do the deed. She's got the knife right there. And Wesley stops her. And she runs over and begins to kiss Wesley. But he can't move yet. He's he's been mostly dead all day. Yeah, Wesley's been mostly dead. I mean, that's a tough day. He's been a little broken. Needs some restoration in his life. And she walks over, runs over, and practically mauls the guy. And he's laying there, and she's trying to kiss him, and she picks his head up, and his head flops back against the headboard. Whap! And he says, gently! Gently! How do we restore someone who's broken? Gently. Gently. Keep in mind, as we're coming to people who have issues, and I'm speaking to you guys like you're the ones coming to someone else who has issues. It's never you that has the issue, right?
Right.
Right. It's never ever you. If that were only true. When we come, what will help us come in gentleness to them is remembering that we aren't perfect either. We aren't coming to them as those that are flawless and completely sinless. And we just, like, oh, I've led the perfect life. I don't know what your issue is, but I'm here to restore you. That doesn't really help anybody. But when you come to them, you say, look, I know that there's weak areas in my own life. I know that I am temptable. I'm not above temptation. And Paul actually says, where is it here? Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Right in context with being gentle as you're restoring others. Keep watch on yourself. Don't forget, guys, you're not coming in there as holier than thou. You're coming as their brother or their sister to help. Next time it could be you needing help. John 13:34 says this, Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So when we're coming in, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When someone's in sin, they've got a heaviness on them. They've got a burden on them, especially if they also have the Holy Spirit at work in them. Holy Spirit is a great convictor. Yeah. And he convicts us of sin. He convicts us. And when we're kind of battling and struggling against that, like the Spirit's trying to lead us one way and we're trying to go another way, it's like this heavy, heavy burden on you. I've been there. I lived pretty much a phony Christian life for a lot of years as a kid. And I said all the right things and I went to all the right meetings and I was totally not walking with God. And it was heavy. I was always heavy. I was always concerned of, am I really okay with God? Am I going to make it to heaven? Am I not? And it was just this, it was heavy, 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 heavy. And I so appreciated when people found out that I was a phony that they came alongside me and carried that with me and said, we're going to walk you through this. Rather than just like, you are flipping jerk. What are you doing? You're not reflecting on God well or the church well. You're embarrassing all of us. They could have done that. They didn't do that. They came and they said, we want to walk you through this. It was very helpful. So we want to bear one another's burdens. And the word for burden there, I don't remember the Greek word, but it's the idea is a heavy burden that's too much to carry. You'll see in a minute when we get down to the bottom when we carry our own load, our own burden. It's a whole different word. The law of Christ is that we love one another as we love ourselves. So think about this. If it was you caught in sin, how would you want to be treated? How would you want people to respond to you? How would you want people to help you? Paul's saying, in that same way, help them. Come alongside. Don't lie to them. Don't withhold the truth. And be like, well, if I really talk to them, this is sinful behavior. How are they going to respond? Are they going to take? That's between them and God. Confronting needs to happen. Truth needs to happen. But we speak the truth to them in love. In the same way you would want someone to speak to you if you were caught in sin. So there's two things that will try to keep us from this ministry of restoration. And Paul talks about them here. First one, he says, if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Big word you can put on that is conceit or arrogance. Arrogance. You think you're something when you're nothing. Keep in mind that our very best day, our very best righteousness in and of ourselves is like a filthy rag compared to God. In the eyes of God, the very, very best you can do on your very, very best day can't measure up. So keep that in mind as you're coming to help other people. Because if you forget that, you're going to be less likely to help them in the first place because you're so stuck on yourself. Like, I'm pretty good. I'm a good person. I hear that. I was talking to a lady on the airplane a few weeks ago about, and she just kept coming back to, well, I'm a good person. I know I'm a good person. And she's comparing herself to other people that aren't as good as she is. Okay. So maybe you, in some areas of your life, can be a better person than that other person. But that doesn't make you a good person. So keep that in mind, guys. Our righteousness comes from Jesus and nowhere else. It's not how good we are. It's how good he is. And if you forget that, you start to self elevate. And it's like your head starts to inflate. It needs to be deflated. I'm here to deflate you today. Isn't that great? This is a great vision casting message. I am here to deflate your head. Awesome. So the second thing that Paul says is, he says in verse 4, let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Okay. What he's saying here, when you start comparing yourself to someone else, we've had the conceit side, which is like, I'm comparing myself to you and I'm better than you, so I'm looking down my nose at you. But on a... I'm go higher. But the other side of this, with comparison, is you start to go down in your own eyes. And pretty soon everyone else is up here. And you're comparing yourself to them. And I can't be as good as them. Who am I? Who am I to come and bring restoration to these people when I'm broken myself? I've got issues myself. I've got stuff. I don't get along well with my sister myself. Who am I to come and talk to them about this? And you can start to compare yourself with other people, and it leaves you feeling empty and worthless and inadequate. This isn't a good place to be. I wrote it down this way, just really simple. Who am I? I'm not a very good Christian compared to them anyway. I have my own struggles, so how can I be used to heal others? The good news is, all that comes from Jesus too. What Paul's saying here, test your own work. Don't look at everybody else's work. Just test your own work. What has God called you to do? What has He called you to do? Are you responding to Him in that? It's pretty simple. Test your own work. You don't have to look at everyone else's work. How are they doing? That's Phariseeism. How are they doing? I'm gonna make sure they're doing okay. Make sure they're measuring up. No, just look into your own life. God, am I walking in what you're calling me to be walking? This Greek word here, when he talks about bearing your own load, it reminded me of Star Trek, because it kind of looks like a photon, but it's actually not a photon. It's a fortion, P-H-O-R-T-I-O-N, fortion, and it's a man's normal work to carry. It's like your pack. Everybody carry your own pack. I'm like, okay, that's cool. He's not saying everyone pick up this heavy burden and this awful load. You need to carry this yourself. Now, he's already told us you need to be ready to carry each other's heavy burdens, but you pick up your own pack and you engage in what God's calling you to do. Don't be passive. Don't kick back. Engage. This will involve actively loving God and actively loving people. And that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. If one of us, thinking, how does this really apply to us? If one of us loses sight of God's big picture, of God's big mission, then the rest of us need to be ready to step in, speak truth, and shoulder the load with them. Because I guarantee you, when the Holy Spirit's convicting them, they already feel bad. And even if, I mean, that's the good side, is the Holy Spirit's convicting you. The bad side is the devil is also right there to condemn you. And condemn. There's no hope in that. It's just, you're bad. You're no good. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. What do you think you're doing? Why are you stepping out in faith? You got no business doing this. That's condemnation from the devil. Just, rah, rah, rah. We need to come alongside as brothers and sisters, and with people that are struggling in that, and shoulder that load with them, and remind them of who God is. Remind them of who they are in God. When that happens among us, that someone loses sight, loses vision, those of us who are people of the Spirit need to come alongside them and help bring restoration. So, what if that's you? What if you're the one struggling in sin? I was praying last night about it. I was like, God, what do you want me to say to these guys about this passage? And I just felt it was so simple. God is saying, if that's you, you don't have to struggle alone. You're not called of God to shoulder the heavy burden alone. And we don't want to misinterpret that each of you carry your own load at the end of that passage to mean you need to deal with it yourself. No. God hasn't saved you just to be a Christian by yourself. He added you to his family so that there's others around you to support you. If you're struggling in anything, don't believe the lie that you have to keep it quiet and keep it secret and that, you know, I'll deal with this. Me and God, we'll get through this. We'll deal with this. No. Actually, the way you'll deal with it is when you can open up to your sisters, open up to your brothers, and say, I'm struggling here. And then what happens when you open up? They've caught you in a sin. They just found out about it. What? You know, and that probably won't be their response. What? You know, but they're finding out about it, and now they have the opportunity to be involved in restoring you, which is really cool. God has placed mature men and women around you to shoulder the load with you. So guys, I was praying, I was thinking about this. I shared that, I don't know if it was a vision or what it was, that's been coming back to me probably over the last week and a half, this picture of me seeing myself dropped into this water like a rock and just gone. And when I first saw the picture, I literally saw being dropped in and then just seeing the ripples kind of go out. They weren't big. It wasn't like huge waves impacting the entire ocean around them or something. You know, it was literally just like a rock being dropped in and there's a few ripples. And my initial thought was, that's fine, God. If you drop me in somewhere and there will be effect, and whether I see it or I don't see it, that's okay. And that's when I saw the as if I was a big life preserver or something, shooting back up out of the water, and it's you know, like white water just erupting back out. By the grace of God, guys, we will be a church that restores broken people. And where God's dropped us in to where right now we can still fit in a living room. Right now we can fit in small places. But I feel like God has in store for us this erupting out into the city of Spokane where broken people are going to be able to be drawn in because they can find restoration here. They can find healing here. They can find what they're looking for. They find someone to come alongside them instead of to just look down their nose at them. And others that come in, there'll be others that maybe add in and you think, these are, you know, who am I to actually speak into their lives? Who am I to engage with these people? Some of you kids might even think, well, shoot, how can I say what I'm seeing? That's an adult. Well, you've got the Spirit of God in you. And as long as you speak the truth to them in a loving way, God can use you guys to speak not only to your own friends at school, but to those that are older than you, that you would think, oh, we need someone else to do that. You know, across the board, God's making us to be a people that restores the broken. Not just looks at the broken and has compassion on the broken, but that also brings restoration to the broken. I feel like that's a mandate on us from God in a good sense. Not like a, oh, wow, we better get after this. No, I'm not trying to put a heavy load on you. But a mandate from God, meaning I have blessed you to go and do this. So go and do this. Cool. If God's commissioned us, we can do this. We can be restorers of broken lives and broken neighborhoods. So let's pray and just ask God to really empower us in this. If anyone else wants to pray out as well, that's fine. I'll lead out. Father, thank you that you are the God who restores us. You have restored us in so many ways, and you continue to restore us time and time again. If we step to the left or to the right and get off track, you're so faithful to come alongside us and say, no, this is the way, walk in it. And you restore us. And Father, thank you that you put a healthy conviction in our hearts, and we desire to repent. We desire to go, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please lead me in your paths. And God, I just pray for each and every person here today. There's areas where we need to be restored, where we've slipped off in a sinful behavior, sinful lifestyle practices. Maybe no one even knows about, but God, you know, and you lead us back into life. God, I pray for that healthy conviction on us now. I'm just going to just be still for a minute and just let God speak to each of us individually. Father, thank you that in you, repentance is actually a life-giving thing. It's a restoring thing. God, thank you for your restoring power. God, it really is a joy to be able to come to you and say, we submit our lives to you and resubmit our lives to you. Because you bring life. You bring wholeness to us. And God, I pray, even as Kaylee's here today studying pre-med, I feel like here we are kind of this spiritual group of pre-med students preparing to be able to minister healing to many, many people. And God, I pray for Grace Church Spokane that we would be known as restorers of the broken. We not just having compassion on broken people. Broken people can come and be loved. But God, the broken people come and actually see restoration in their lives. See them walking in freedom. See them walking in wholeness. Seeing them lead other people into restoration. Father, I pray for each and every one of us in the room that you would give us one that we can lead into restoration. I pray for that. I pray for really specifically, God, I'm praying for in this next month of November, Thanksgiving month coming up, that we be giving thanks at the end of the month for how you're using us to bring restoration into the lives of broken people, of hurting people. Father, I pray we see people saved this month. I pray we see people restored this month. And I feel like that's from God for us, you guys, that yes, we're still in training. Yes, we're still preparing. But in the middle of that, be after the hearts and souls of men, because Jesus is. Amen.